Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. We open our show today with some warm wishes for a speedy recovery to Leon Thompson, who our listeners know is one of our regular hosts here on our show and an important part of our team at both East County Magazine and KNSJ. Leon underwent open-heart triple bypass surgery on Monday morning, so he's looking forward to having a healthy heart for the holidays, though he'll be in the hospital over Christmas. If you want to send him a card, he's at Grossmont Hospital. The holiday season is always a time for reflection on what's important. It's easy to get caught up in the crunch of holiday shopping, wrapping, and decorating, but what matters most is spending time with family and friends, savoring cherished memories of Christmases gone by, and making new memories to savor in future seasons. It's a time for giving and helping others less fortunate in our community, reaching out to lend a helping hand in a spirit of goodwill. From all of us at East County Magazine and KNSJ, we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, peace and joy in the new year.
During the past 10 years, the U.S. Forest Service fleet of firefighting planes has dropped from 44 aircraft to just 8 planes. Now, California Senator Dianne Feinstein has added language into the defense bill that would double the current size fleet to 16 planes, still far short of a decade ago. Her amendment would transfer 7 surplus HC-130H Hercules planes from the Coast Guard to the Forest Service. Senator Feinstein called this a critical step to help address our ability to defend forests and communities following a devastating wildfires this year, including the Rim Fire in Yosemite National Park. San Diego supervisors have recently approved a resolution supporting transfer of the planes. The bipartisan measure is co-sponsored by Senator John McCain of Arizona, who says that the Congress needs to do even more to protect lives and property. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is David Dickens. Father Victor Mariastella, the pastor at St. Pius Church in Jamul, has suffered serious injuries in a head-on collision that occurred Tuesday night. Father Victor was driving his SUV on Highway 94 west of Honey Springs Road when a Ford Ranger crossed the center lines. The crash caused Father Victor's vehicle to plunge 100 feet down an embankment. Both Father Victor and the 23-year-old driver of the other vehicle had to be rescued from the wreckage. Father Victor was flown by medical helicopter to Sharp Memorial Hospital with serious injuries, including 2 broken legs, a broken hip, and a broken wrist. The driver of the Ford Ranger that struck Father Victor has been arrested for driving under the influence. He, too, suffered moderate to severe injuries. The accident forced closure of Highway 94 for approximately 2 hours. The highway has been the scene of numerous fatal accidents in recent months. Kim Hamilton, editor of the Deerhorn Valley Antler, a community publication in Jamul, issued this request for the community. "I'm sure Father Victor would appreciate your good thoughts and prayers," she said, "as he goes through what will be a challenging recovery." This is David Dickens reporting for East County Magazine, KNSJ.
Now for a sports report. The Poinsettia Bowl will kick off on Thursday, December 26th at San Diego's Qualcomm Stadium. This year, the Utah State Aggies and Northern Illinois Huskies will be vying for the title in the 9th annual San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. It marks the second appearance in the San Diego Bowl game for the Huskies and the first for the Aggies. The Poinsettia Bowl kicks off at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, and the game will be televised on ESPN. The game matches division winners from the Mountain West and Mid-American conferences. Tickets for the Poinsettia Bowl can be purchased by calling Ticketmaster or by visiting www.poinsettiabowl.com. Fans can also get tickets at Qualcomm Stadium's Window B Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
This is David Dickens with a holiday weather forecast on behalf of the East County Magazine. It's looking to be a beautiful Southern California day this Christmas all week long. Sunshine is forecast for Christmas Day with high temperatures of 75 degrees in San Diego, lows at about around 50 degrees, and barely a balmy breeze with just 2 to 4 mile per hour winds. In East County's mountain areas, nighttime temperatures could dip down below freezing, but daytime temperatures are expected to reach 60 degrees. There's no snow on the ground, even atop Mount Laguna, so if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, you'll have to wait for a future season.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
The Barona Band of Mission Indians is ending 2013 on a high note by awarding another education grant to a deserving local school. The program's most recent $5,000 grant was presented by Councilwomen Beth Glasgow and Bonnie LaChapa to Hill Creek Elementary School in Santee, fulfilling important educational resources on both students' and faculty's holiday wish lists. State Senator Joel Anderson nominated Hill Creek Elementary for the grant. Hill Creek Elementary will use the funds to purchase much-needed technology for K-8 grade students, including 10 Tech for Learning licenses and 4 licenses for Read Naturally. The grant will also equip classrooms with 3 computing stations, a Dell desktop computer, and 9 LED monitors, keyboards, and mouse sets. Clifford LaChapa, chairman of the Barona Band of Mission Indians, stated, "The Barona tribe is thrilled to present this education grant during this season of giving, and we wish all of the teachers and students happy holidays. We are looking forward to awarding many more grants to deserving schools like Hill Creek Elementary in 2014. Since 2006, the Barona Band of Mission Indians has awarded over $2 million to more than 400 schools statewide to help bridge school budget gaps and share resources through its Barona Education Grant Program. The program is the first of its kind in California, created and administered by a tribal government. The goal of the program is to create strong educational opportunities for the children of California, building upon the success of the Barona Indian Charter School, which operates under a continuous improvement model. Schools throughout California can apply for educational grants from Barona to purchase much-needed supplies and materials that promote academic improvement."
Going away for the holidays? Are you concerned about your home security while you're away? If you live in the jurisdiction of the Sheriff's Department, you can fill out a form online and submit it to your nearest sheriff's station or substation. The San Diego County Sheriff's Department will keep a watchful eye on your home during your holiday travels. The Sheriff's Senior Volunteer Patrol, with more than 400 members, will perform security inspections outside your home while you're out of town year-round. And you can ask for this free service simply by letting the Sheriff's Department know when you are leaving by completing a vacation check form at www.sdsheriff.net and return it to your nearest sheriff station or substation. Let the sheriff know when you're leaving, and the senior volunteer patrol members will check your doors, windows, and garage are locked. They will also hide your newspapers and packages in your side fence or back patio. If they see anything suspicious, they will call for assistance of a deputy who will determine if there's been a break-in. Upon your return from vacation, you will get a welcome home letter listing the dates your home was checked and observations made during the visits. So again, to take advantage of this free service, complete this vacation check form at www.sdsheriff.net and return it to your nearest sheriff's station or substation.
This is Miriam Raftery with a consumer protection alert. If you shopped at Target between November 27th and December 15th, your credit card or debit card information may have been breached due to a hack. Up to 40 million cardholders may be impacted. Target says it's begun notifying customers via email and letters of the potential for fraud on these accounts and has alerted all of the credit networks of the affected card numbers. The major credit card companies are in turn alerting financial institutions as well so that they can take fraud protection steps. Customers will not be responsible for any fraud that may occur on these accounts. There is a silver lining to this situation, however. Target is extending a 10% discount to all customers who shop at its stores on December 21st and December 22nd. Target CEO Greg Steinhafel issued this message regarding the data breach. "We recognize this has been confusing and disruptive during an already busy holiday season," he said. Our guests' trust is our top priority at Target, and we are committed to making this right.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
This is Miriam Raftery with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego's Agriculture Department. If you love California's agricultural products, our fruits, nuts, veggies, chicken, eggs, and pork chops, remember this rule. Don't pack a pest in your luggage. The holiday season is also the season for traveling, and we should all do our best to protect the California agricultural products that we love to eat and which make up a huge part of our state and local economy by making sure that we don't accidentally bring something home that can force quarantines, wreck crops, and wreak havoc. It's like that Las Vegas slogan, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. The truth is, whatever you find on your trip should stay behind when it comes to agriculture and related stuff, no matter whether you're just traveling to another state or out of the country. Don't transport any fresh, raw, uncooked, untreated foodstuffs, seeds, beans, nuts, rice, dried fruit, decorative greenery, untreated wood items, or animal products from most foreign countries. And if you're traveling and you think you've accidentally packed a plant or an animal item away, please declare those products when you're asked by an agricultural inspector, like those here at the county line, if you have anything in your luggage. Why? The reason is simple. Agricultural diseases and pest outbreaks are happening everywhere all the time, and those pests, viruses, and problems can be carried from there to here very easily in our modern age of fast travel. County entomologist Tracy Ellis says you can't believe how easy it is to bring something really bad into the area, even inadvertently packing a twig from a holiday wreath from the Midwest, or some bulbs from Florida, ornamental citrus branches from Asia, or an avocado leaf from Mexico can carry in pests and diseases that can be devastating to California or Mexico's multi-billion-dollar food production industry. San Diego County is already battling to control numerous deadly pests and viruses, such as the gold-spotted oak borer, the Asian citrus psyllid, which could spread citrus greening disease and devastate California's citrus industry, and the polyphagous shothole borer that was discovered here recently. So if you're traveling, remember, what you find on your trip stays behind on your trip. You don't want to be the Scrooge who brings a scourge home to share with everyone else.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history. It's the holiday season in warm, sunny East County. As we count our blessings, we can't help but think of those who also walked beneath that same benevolent sun years ago in somewhat less happy circumstances. One such person was Dr. Eben McGregor, one of very few doctors in East County in the 1930s, and the only game in town in Lemon Grove. Here are his words, written on Christmas Day, 1956, nearly 60 years ago. I awakened this morning thinking of my early days in Lemon Grove and of the dusty but very pretty little town as I first saw it. Oh, little town of Lemon Grove. Thousands of lemon trees. Nearly everyone had a horse. Lots of people had asthma and had come here for the good climate. I thought of S.D. Eckler on Central Avenue, who came here with $30,000 and sunk it into land that was ruined by the Mattoon Act in the 1930s. Eckler started a huge rabbit ranch. Poor man took credit in the 30s. So people could have rabbit stew. I recall Dr. Charles Good, the dentist, with a big citrus ranch and a nice house, also on Central Avenue. He fixed your teeth for a dollar in the 1930s. And good old Ed Fells, of the Fells Naphtha soap fortune. Not that he had any of that money. He taught me lobster fishing, completely illegal, and the ocean was cold in winter. I thought of that awful segregation case the school board started when they built the Mexican school, and then the Mexicans went on strike at the packing house. How the school board thereafter began to eliminate the Mexicans from the payroll. People like Andy Anderson, Good People, Art Ahrens, Reverend Kurtz, and Herman Przybylski were part of that mess. Herman Przybylski had come here from Poland. He had a big citrus ranch and horses. He thought I was a communist because I had run for office on the Democratic ticket. I didn't know the meaning of the word communist in those days. But Herman had me investigated, and I will never forget when he came over and told me I was okay. We lived across the street from each other, for Pete's sake. I was his doctor, and no communist either. That reminded me of Herman's boy, Frank, who had terrible asthma and was good friends with the adopted son of Colonel and Mrs. Bryan, who lived in the big show place where Ambassador Hayes, later President Hayes, had visited. The adopted son was always tippling in the parlor and helping himself to the brandy during tea parties. But most of all, I remember Tony Sonka, he who ran the famous general store next door to my home and medical office on Main Street. I remember saying to Tony, "Do you remember that truck that came through Lemon Grove on Christmas with flour and potatoes and somebody's old clothes and other stuff? It was all for the needy. You loaned us a little house to store the clothes. The Depression had struck so hard. I had several thousand patients who had no money. One month I worked from dawn to dusk 7 days a week, and I took in $86 in cash. Tony, you fed them, and I tried to keep them alive." Dear listeners, those were the words of Dr. Eben McGregor, who went on to lead the Veterans Administration for President Franklin Roosevelt in World War II. Dr. McGregor's house was designed by the great Alberto Traganza, also a Lemon Grove resident. That was in 1932, but it took 4 years to build because the doctor had no money, because his patients had no money. Patients with construction skills worked off their bills in sweat equity on the good doctor's house. It still stands today on Main Street, an important historic site. For the Sounds of History, I'm Helen O'Field.
Welcome to Vines and Wines with your host, Greg Manis of the Manis Vineyards Estate.
Hello, San Diego. Welcome to Vines and Wines. It's a radio show that introduces you to many of the rising new superstars and energized people in the local wine industry that will forever change the landscape of San Diego as it emerges into a brand new EVA wine growing district. Welcome to the radio show. As the 2013 year comes to a close and winter chill now begins to settle in across the county, I thought it might be a cool idea to share with you some amazing things that have happened this year in the Vines and Wines movement versus our normal interview with amazing upcoming winemakers. Even though belts continue to be tightened and more families and friends are reconnecting to be resourceful, we still need to be thankful for many things that I'd like to share with you. We've all been ever so blessed to live right here in the East County. This is an amazing area. And with the new boutique winery ordinances now in place, allowing smaller families the opportunity to plant, grow, and make wine, have tastings, and sell their wine to the public with easier permit processes, things are definitely looking up. This year, we must also be thankful to our grassroots organizations, like the San Diego Amateur and Professional Winemaker Societies, the East County Vintners, and splinter groups like the Mount Helix Growers Association and local colleges from Rancho San Diego to San Marcos, now conducting viticulture classes that actually continue to hammer out the infrastructure of our rising new industry, encouraging novice growers to get on board, man. People's buckets lists are definitely getting smaller these days as they begin to educate themselves with internet help and plant their dreams. One day all of these groups may be able to form a new supergroup for total information that we can all share and learn from here in San Diego. I thought of a cool name. Maybe it should be known as VSD, or what do you think about Vino San Diego? Anyway, as these vineyards continue to expand across the county, grown by home and professional winemakers, they're racking up bronze, silver, and gold medals at local wine judging events in cities like Del Mar and La Jolla by the Sea. with stellar efforts, really, in such a short period of time. This is absolutely amazing and great news for America's finest city. For soon, tourists will no longer need to travel up to Temecula or Napa or even Santa Barbara to enjoy dynamic regional wine that's grown right here. Here in a myriad of microclimates that create wonderful grape growing. Time slips away from each of us each and every day. Before our very own eyes. Remember the little sleepy horse town of Ramona? Well, it's now grown to over 35 bonded wineries and tasting rooms with delicious wines. And they're putting people back to work, influencing other little towns like Potrero, Campo, Descanso, Del Zurra, Alpine, Julian, and even my little town of Jamul, to follow suit along the historic 94 corridor. It seems to be quite in vogue nowadays to get your hands dirty, dump your gym memberships, and plant a vineyard to regain your sanity and physical prowess back. It sure reconnects you to the earth, increasing your property value and lowering your water bill at the same time. So why not? Well, one thing is definitely for certain that we have learned this year. We must all remain diligent, educated, and inspired, working together with a glass that remains half full. While we're here, working together to stay on the right track, it will leave behind a legacy of amazing people, stories, healthy vineyards, and mountains, and I mean mountains of wonderful wine grapes that can be crushed and fermented into precious sips of wine. Let it be known that if high-end grapes are grown locally, the best winemakers in the world will come here, like magnets to steel. This comes from Greg Manis. That's my quote. Another blessing coming our way is the California Farm Stay Initiative, allowing small farm and vineyard owners the opportunity to have guests stay overnight for visits with minimal licensing permits. Imagine horseback riding as you hop from vineyard to vineyard, sipping precious sips of wine under aged oak trees. Well, it's already happening here, my friends, in San Diego, the beautiful East County. So the next time you're visiting some of these up-and-coming East County vineyards, shake their hand and say a warm thank you for all they're starting to grow right in your own backyard. And hopefully, a little bit at a time, one season after the next, we will all begin to slowly realize that our glasses were never half empty this year, but have remained half full, and the best is still yet to come. As our wine journey continues to unravel, these are amazing gifts we can all build and share together. I'm Greg Manis of Manis Vineyards Designs. Thanks for tuning in today. With all of us working together, turning vines into amazing wines, dreams really can come true for all of us. So cheers, and here's to the rich goodness of sharing new beginnings.
We're all kids at heart, but one of the first questions you should ask when buying toys for your child is, what's the toy appropriate age, says Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna, our Chief's Corner columnist at East County Magazine. It's essential to adhere to the age guidelines indicated on toy packaging because even a toy for a three-year-old could have parts too small for a two-year-old to handle properly. Are there any small, loose parts that your child can swallow? If you're not sure, consider the toilet paper tube test. Anything that can pass through that tube is too small to give to a child under 3 years old. Marbles, coins, and balls are common culprits in choking. Could any part of the toy be bitten off and swallowed? Does the toy have a string, ribbon, straps, or a cord longer than 7 inches? Is your toy non-toxic? Look for points, edges, or breakable parts that could be sharp and avoid those toys for kids under 8. If you're considering a ride-on toy, is it sturdy and stable? And does the recipient have all the proper safety equipment, such as a helmet and knee pad? Does the toy include magnets? Powerful magnets can actually be fatal if swallowed by children. Could the toy be a fire hazard? Fabric toys should be labeled flame retardant or flame resistant. Electrical toys with batteries or electric plugs can pose a burn hazard, so they should be avoided for children under 8. Does the toy include any throwing or shooting projectiles? If so, it's best to avoid them because they can cause injuries, especially to the eyes. If you want more toy safety tips, visit toyinfo.org. Have a safe and happy holidays.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. This is Leon Thompson. I'm here with East County Magazine's editor, Miriam Raftery, and we're 2 weeks away from the new year, so we're going to talk about some of the things that have happened in the last year that are significant, relevant, and important. Mm-hmm. So what are the top stories?
Wow. It has really been a very busy year, Leon. We've had lots and lots of important stories out here in East County. I think I'd like to start, though, by talking about a couple of them where our reporting is really making a difference out here. We had a report, an investigative story, where we found that numerous rural fire stations were closed during fire season, sometimes two and three of them at a time, even during red flag alerts.
Yes, in the middle of the summer.
Right.
Boulevard, Hakumba.
And even Campo at times.
And even Campo at times. We're closed as much as 28 days out of a 30-day month.
That's right. Yeah, Boulevard in particular. And Hakumba, although not as many days, there was a death that resulted out there from someone who'd been unconscious a long time. And who knows if they would have been saved, but quite possibly if help had arrived sooner. But anyway, the upshot of that was there was a big meeting with fire officials and rural community leaders and Supervisor Jacob, and as of right now, I understand funding has been approved to keep those fire stations open 24/7. So that was a really big accomplishment, and we were really proud of our writers and our investigative team on that one. Another one, we had a reader tip who told us that County Veteran Services was not providing any services east of La Mesa. So these folks out in the rural areas, they would have to drive an hour, sometimes an hour and a half to get to the nearest services, whereas people in the wealthier coastal communities only had to go 5 minutes. Some of them had services, you know, many times a week.
And what's the result of publishing that story?
Supervisor Jacob has put forward a proposal for the county to bring veteran services to every library in the county. And while that's got to come back from staff with approval on the details, it looks like it'll probably go through because the county veteran services themselves and the libraries all agreed this is doable. So hopefully if you're a veteran out there, especially the disabled veterans, this is really, really important.
Excellent. That's nice to hear. What about the impact of East County Magazine on politics, for instance?
Well, it's hard to measure impact. We're nonpartisan, of course, but certainly we do get the word out about a lot of the important issues. We've got an election coming up next year to watch, so certainly that will be an important thing. But as far as top political stories of this year, clearly it would have to be the resignation of two local mayors, Mayor Mark Lewis at El Cajon and Mayor Bob Filner. You know, people may not realize that what happens in San Diego has an impact out here, but one of the first things Bob Filner's temporary replacement, Todd Gloria, did is to reverse a Filner order and decide to drain Lake Morena. There's a temporary mayor doing this. So that, you know, that's obviously a big impact. Mayor Lewis, of course, stepped down for health reasons, but there was also a lot of controversy about some remarks that he'd made about Chaldeans and other minorities in El Cajon. And what we've seen there is sort of a flexing of the political muscle of the minority populations of East County. We have 27 applicants, for instance, for the city council vacancy out there, and a lot of political organizing going on, Chaldeans getting people registered to vote, a new Chaldean chamber forming up. In fact, two new Chaldean chambers, sort of rival chambers that have come forward. So I think that's going to be something to watch next year, and I think we may see some turnaround. There's also term limits on the ballot, or trying to qualify for the ballot in La Mesa, and if that goes through, then potentially you could see some seats, you know, change hands in the future. Some of these long-held seats in La Mesa may turn over.
And what impact has there been on the parks in East County this last year? We had some potential closures.
Well, one of them was Lake Jennings. There was talk about Helix Water District closing it. Some people came forward to speak on that, and so the Helix Water District has ultimately kicked that can down the road a year. They decided to put in a committee to study it and see if a way can be found to save it. And I know they're trying some different things. You can now rent the entire lake out. If somebody has a company and wants a company picnic or a wedding or something, you can rent the whole lake and help save it for everybody else. So those are some things that they are.
Just go to .rentalake.com and rent a lake for a day.
Something like that. There you go. Helix Water District.
So then impacted lakes are Morena as well.
Right. The draining of Lake Morena. They're draining.
And that's happening as we speak.
It is. It's being drained by something like 2/3. The county has expressed huge concern that this could lead to massive fish kills and environmental impacts, so we're going to have to watch and see whether the new mayor of San Diego is going to continue that policy or perhaps stop the draining before it gets down to the lowest levels there.
This last year was the 10-year anniversary of the Cedar Fire.
Yes, it was. And obviously, that's what probably one of the biggest stories ever for East County was the Cedar Fire. A lot's been done to improve safety. We did a lot. We did, as you know, a special radio report on it. We interviewed everybody, fire survivors, fire chiefs, fire officials, burn victims, lots and lots of people on that. What we really looked at is what things have improved. A lot has, with communication and so forth, for example. But there's also some things that are arguably worse with budget cuts. And the scary part is that pretty much every fire official we talked with said the potential's there. It could happen again, and certainly with climate change, hotter, drier weather, and fewer resources.
Yes, and the brush has grown back. So we have continuous dense native brush from the mountains to the sea.
That's true, and it's obviously very important for listeners in those rural areas, as everyone knows, to take some personal responsibility for your fire protection, too, and clear your defensible space and those things. Another big area where we had a lot of coverage this year was energy and environmental issues, everything from the Quail Brush Power Plant, which I think was a huge power to the people story. We saw a unifying of people, everybody from Randy Vopel, who's, you know, conservative Tea Party Republican, to Mayor Bob Filner and the liberals on the city council out there, residents in both cities banding together to say, we don't want this thing next to Mission Trails Regional Park. It was a gas-fired power plant. And the PUC, Public Utilities Commission, ultimately said, we don't really need this, at least not at this time. So that's been shelved for the time being.
And will it be brought back, you think?
Possibly. I think SDG&E is putting its energy into trying to get the Pio Pico power plant instead down in the Otay area, which is an industrial area, less community opposition down there. But where we are seeing a lot more focus on energy in East County is the big wind and the big solar projects coming in. We spent a lot of our resources this year investigating things like, why did a multi-ton blade fall off of a wind turbine in Ocotillo?
Didn't we have a video of that?
Photo. We didn't have a video of it actually falling, but we do have a lot of other videos of day after day after day after day of no wind at all.
Right.
There's some real questions.
Right.
Should that project have ever been built? There's mounting evidence that it just simply doesn't have the wind resources to support that kind of a project. Plus, there's real questions about how safe is this in a public area.
Right.
There's health issues emerging. We also did an expose on dust storms at these big projects.
Yes.
We have some amazing video and photos.
Right.
That may be what you're thinking of, Leon. Well, certainly, some of our information on the dust storm got picked up by United Press International.
Right.
They cited our story in raising questions about, is scraping bare the desert in
a
places
smart
like
thing to do.
Yeah, Texas and Arizona. If you
especially
look at,
with desert fever.
Yeah, valley fever.
Valley fever.
You look at the areas where valley fever is on the rise and where the largest dust storms have been reported, and there is a strong correlation between the largest solar farm in the world, the largest wind farms in some of these places. To give you an idea of the scale, in Ocotillo, these wind turbines are 500 feet tall, and they were dwarfed by these dust storms that looked like something out of the Dust Bowl, or worse, they were 2,000, 3,000 feet tall, just washing over the town and obliterating, wiping out the side of these turbines.
Now, isn't the Valley Fever you're talking about on the upswing in those desert areas?
It certainly is in California and in Arizona. And we don't really know about Imperial County because they don't have the same reporting requirements that some of the other places do. But that's definitely a question that's being raised and that's being looked at. Another question is this whole scandal involving eagles. David Bittner, who was the expert relied upon to do the eagle studies, the raptor birds of prey studies.
He's the one with the birds in the freezer?
Yeah, I had a bunch of dead birds in the freezer that were under the Migratory Treaty Act. He wasn't licensed, hadn't been for years and years and years and years and years, was convicted in federal court.
He was paid as a consultant.
Was paid over $600,000 as a consultant to write the reports for Iberdrola on the Thule Wind Project in McCain Valley, for Ocotillo, Pattern Energy's wind project, and many other large energy projects, and kept concluding that they don't pose threats to eagles, and yet he was convicted in federal court of taking a golden eagle without a permit. He had all these dead birds. So there's some very serious issues about whether that study should be redone.
And so speaking of high in the sky,
yeah,
what other issues have been big in East County that'll impact
drones?
Our area? Yes.
Drones. By the end of the year, it's supposed to be announced whether or not East County and San Diego will be one of the federal drone testing areas. And of course, we were up covering a town meeting up in Julian about this issue. A lot of concerns there. Drones are one of those issues where there's pros and cons. There's some very positive uses of them for things like search and rescue operations, finding people lost in the woods, you know, that kind of thing, or in disasters. But they can also have some sort of big brother aspects. Do we want to be spied upon? Do we want the government to be able to see everything we're doing all the time? And plus, there's risks of crashes, potentially fires in East County as well. So it's going to be very interesting. I think that's one of the big issues to watch going
Absolutely.
Forward.
It also leads to our biggest crime story in the last year. Wasn't there a drone involved in finding?
Well, I asked Sheriff Gordon. Actually, he said no.
Oh.
You're talking about the Hannah Anderson case.
Right.
Certainly, the search for Hannah Anderson in the wilderness of Idaho, that would be an example where if they had drones deployed, that might have aided in that kind of case. I don't believe they were. At least Sheriff Gore had told me that they were not. But certainly the Hannah Anderson case is one that was closely watched all over East County. She was, of course, the missing lakeside teenager who was reportedly abducted, taken to Idaho, and her abductor set fire to his house boulevard in the fire that killed her mother and her brother. So that's certainly been a very major case. It started a essentially nationwide manhunt for Hannah Anderson and her abductor.
What big sports news is there in East County?
Well, unquestionably, the top sports story of the year out here was Jimmy Johnson, who grew up out here in El Cajon and Santee. And he won his sixth sprint championship with NASCAR after he's won just about everything else there is to win in NASCAR multiple times over. And now the national sports magazines are starting to refer to him as one of the most winning athletes in any sport. I think he's behind Tiger Woods and one other athlete. He's definitely getting up there, getting a name throughout the sports world. And he's a local East County hometown hero.
And what is the biggest education story of the last year? I know there's several.
Well, I think the biggest one for East County would have to be this whole battle over whether or not to build the 12th high school in Alpine or for the Grossmont Union High School District. There was a grand jury report that concluded that the district needed to provide clarity to residents about this. They'd been accused of using bond money for other projects not in the bond while failing to fund the Alpine High School, despite two bond measures approved for this. And yet, here at year's end, they came out with a media statement The grand jury report said this had to be unconditional, an unconditional statement, and yet they put a statement out with two conditions, both rather vague, and they keep making it a moving target. And so I think what you're going to see resulting from this, Leon, if I can look into my crystal ball for a minute, is I really think we're likely to see a split in that district with parents in Alpine and the surrounding neighborhoods putting unification forward with the Alpine Union School District to make it a high school district, not just elementary, which is going to mean the ADA money is going to be going not to the Grossmont Union High School District for all those parents' children, but instead to the Alpine District so that eventually they'll be able to build the high school out there. And that's my prediction, and we'll see if that happens.
Well, we'll see. Now, there's federal news that's impacted East County, state, county, and city. I mean, when you think about it, there's four tiers.
Correct.
And East County Magazine has been there to report the impact of those.
Well, we have. Although we're primarily a local publication, certainly we would be remiss if we didn't talk about how what happens in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento and downtown San Diego impacts us out here. At the state level, obviously, the state was going through a budget crisis. Finally, at year's end, they're back in the black, not the red. So that's going to be easing somewhat, and the battle going forward will be who gets a piece of the pie and what funding gets restored and how long that takes. But that's affected everything from education. We saw redevelopment go away, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. At the federal level, we've seen everything from the battle over the budgets, the national debt, the fiscal cliff. For the first time in our nation's history, we were pushed to the brink and very, very nearly by the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, very nearly went over that fiscal cliff and defaulted on the nation's debt. And now at year's end, we're seeing a budget, looks like, getting approved without all of these shenanigans. So maybe both sides are learning the art of compromise a little bit. On the Democratic side, we saw the health care reform bill, the Affordable Care Act, finally rolling out. That's helping a lot of poor people get health care. There's also some issues with it. There's some people in the middle falling between the cracks, and there's some talk about whether to tweak it or fix it, as the Democrats are wanting to do, or repeal it, as the Republicans keep wanting to do. So I think that's a moving target. We've also seen cuts in things like food stamps and failure by Congress to renew the farm bill at all. So those are going to be big things to watch for next year that would certainly impact a lot of people in East County, as would immigration reform, whether that occurs or not in, you know, the final years of the Obama administration.
And the county of San Diego rolling out the CFA, the County Fire Authority, over the next year, too, is something that we'll closely be watching.
Yes, I would actually say that could be one of the most important issues of all for East County. A county fire authority, in theory, is a good thing. It has a potential to improve coordination of firefighting resources, but we've seen a lot of really major glitches in the rollout of that, and we've seen some towns standing up and saying, we don't want it. Julian went forward and got a donor to donate money so that they would not have to be taken over by the county fire authority. And we've seen, as we talked about, some issues with some fire stations that were closed, some of those in the county fire authority, some not, issues of things like computers coming out to stations with no software on them at all. So, you know, the devil is always in the details on these things, Leon, and they also have to figure out how not to lose all those good volunteers. They increase the training requirements, which sounds like a great thing. We want qualified firefighters, right? But on the other hand, if we're losing all the volunteers and there's nobody there when the fire alarm comes in, that's not such a good thing. So I think that's something all East County residents should really keep an eye on in the coming year.
So what other stories could we look forward to in the next year coming up?
Well, I think what happens with Tule Wind in McCain Valley is of huge interest to many people. That's, of course, our land, our public land, federal recreation area. Mm-hmm. And the federal government approved Tule Wind there, county supervisors too. But it isn't over till it's over. The company, Iberdrola, could possibly still decide not to build it. Iberdrola in other areas has canceled some projects that were marginal for them financially. There are lawsuits. The Protect Our Communities Foundation has filed a suit. Some others may be coming down the pike. So I think if we see a large amount of public opposition or groups that use that, you know, come forward, if it becomes too expensive for the company or just too controversial, there's always a possibility that could be canceled. But if not, we're really going to see the destruction of the McCain Valley a lot of the beautiful areas out there. And I think people who haven't been there in a while, recreational users, may be very surprised at what occurs.
KNSJ is able to reach downtown and the inner city. And there's many, 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 many people. In fact, the majority of the people who visit these parks and take advantage of our backcountry facilities and recreational areas. This seems to be a very appropriate time for the people in the city to stand up for us people out here in the backcountry.
Well, a lot of people in the backcountry have been saying that for a long time, that, you know, a lot of people out here who've gone into San Diego when there's issues at stake about something happening in the beaches or Balboa Park or the freeways, and then when it's their issues in the rural areas, they say, where is everybody? These people that come out, that like to come out and hike and play and go boating and fishing, where are they when we have something like the draining of Lake Morena or the destruction of McCain Valley?
Now, there's maybe hundreds of boats out at Lake Morena.
Yeah.
Right? But all these people who enjoy that lovely recreational area and go fishing out there are down in the city, and there's hundreds of thousands of boats down there.
That's true.
So probably most people don't realize this, but the city of San Diego owns the water in Lake Morena. So that's how city people can help us out in the country while helping themselves as well.
Yeah, there you go. If anyone doesn't like that, drop a line to Todd Gloria, the city council down there, and the new mayor or the mayoral candidates, and let them know that saving Lake Morena is important to you. I was rather shocked to find out that they really haven't done much to ask people to conserve. I mean, it's been a pretty please conserve water, but there's been nothing mandatory. They're not asking people to water their yard certain days of the week or not wash your car in your driveway. Instead, they're just draining the lake basically because they
can. Mm-hmm. And they didn't seem to be looking for alternatives.
No.
Very hard anyway.
And the city has proposed that the county pay them for the water if they don't want the lake drained.
But they would have to raise $1.3 million to do it, but that's what would save Lake Morena.
Yeah, water issues are huge in East County, always have been, always will be. On a positive note, one thing that I think has been pretty cool going on in the last year is we've seen a real resurgence in interest in our history and our cultural roots in East County. We have seen La Mesa and El Cajon both celebrated their centennials. El Cajon just adopted a new logo and slogan, Valley of Opportunity. La Mesa, of course, has their Centennial Legacy Project. But we've seen a lot going on to put people in touch with the rich history of our region. The Sequan tribe came out with a documentary film on the history of the Kumeyaay people, which was absolutely fascinating, both heartbreaking and inspiring at the same time. And coming up for the next year, Hakumba Hot Springs is going to be celebrating its centennial. I think our quirkiest and most fun story of the year had to be what happened with Hakumba Hot Springs. You know, this was virtually almost a ghost town out there.
Yes.
And with the closure of the spa, the hot springs that had been the big tourism draw, it was really a struggling community. But the townspeople went to a local businessman who owned the clothing optional resort out there, of all things, Deanza Resort, asked him, would you come in and buy the spa to get it reopened and get tourism going again? So he did. And in the process of taking back this deed of trust, he found out that he owned 29 other properties and he had just bought downtown Hakumba. Or Hukum Hot Springs, they actually petitioned the state and got their historic name back. So they've got some big plans. The centennial, I understand they're going to have a big music festival, an arts festival, and they brought in statues from the guy that built the statues out in Borrego Springs.
Oh,
there's
yes.
now a 1,200-pound rattlesnake
statue
out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of just falls into that. It's cool factor. So keep an eye on Hukumba Hot Springs, I think, for the coming year.
Well, Hakumba is about as East County as you can get
without
being out in practically
Imperial.
It is
the closest thing to the county line in Imperial.
But County. East County Magazine covers it all in East County and live and original and relevant.
We do. I also want to talk just about the basic goodness of people in East County, too. And we have had a lot of heartwarming stories this year, too. We've had a community coming forward out in Potrero to help Del Fowler's son, Jerry Fowler, who fell down the well. Town after town, you see this, people coming together to help those in need. The tribes, the generosity of the tribes seems to just keep growing and growing. At year end, we had Verona announcing a large grant to help Clover Flat Elementary School in one of the poorest districts in East County to be able to afford to buy technology and get the kids utilizing technology. We saw Viejas breaking all records for the county for an organization donating the most toys ever, over 12,000 of them, for the East County Toy and Food Drive. So there's just a lot of good people out here. And also the East County Performing Arts Center, I think, is an issue to watch for next year. The council's finally voiced unanimous approval to get it reopened. They're saying it's going to happen by the end of 2014. So we're going to watch and see. But if so, I think that could really be a centerpiece in revitalizing El Cajon and, frankly, all of East County.
And get on East County Magazine's weekly mailing list by subscribing online.
There you go. Subscriptions are free, by the way.
Absolutely free. And along with it comes wildfire alerts and emergency alerts.
That's right.
You can get, as well as events and
you get on our special invitation for our readers-only events that we have, all kinds of them.
In fact, our annual holiday party was graced by Susan Davis.
We just had that.
We just expanded her district to include more of East County, and she's reaching out, and she was there.
Well, she is. You know, in the past, we've had many of our leaders from both sides of the aisle there. We did this year. We had Christine Alicio, who's one of the new councilwomen from La Mesa. Past years, we've had our members of the Assembly, State Senate.
Joel Anderson's
been there in past years. We've had Councilman Kendrick in the past. So it's a good way for people to come meet and greet our elected officials, our VIPs, and we consider all our readers really to be our VIPs because it's the support of the whole community.
Exactly.
The ideas that you give us for stories, the tips. You are our eyes and ears, our listeners, our readers. People send us photos. You know, when we have a fire, it's very often my readers that'll send us video at the scene. They'll tell us about stories. They'll give us tips. But all these different ways that people can help, they can volunteer. They can get involved. It's a great way to get writing experience. We train community journalists. People say, how do you do so much and do so many more stories and win all these awards when you're operating at a fraction of the budget of, say, UT San Diego or the big TV stations? And it's because we're people-powered. We're your community radio station and your community magazine online at eastcountymagazine.org.
Congratulations to you, Miriam, for creating a truly community magazine.
Well, thank you. I certainly didn't do it alone. We've had an awful lot of support. Definitely have to credit Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, the County of San Diego. We got a grant this year to help us with our Destination East County segment, telling you all about the festivals, the events, things like that. We've had support from the San Diego Foundation for Change in the past, and certainly the San Diego Performance Academy that generously allows us to tape this show each week at the studio. So we're very grateful for all of that, for all the community sponsors and readers and listeners, and just the huge support that we have from all of you.
Is what helps us fulfill our mission to reflect all voices and views in East County, especially those that are underrepresented in other media. It's been an amazing year, and we're looking forward to whatever 2014 will bring. This is Miriam Raftery, and for this Christmas Day, we bring you our very own version of A Visit from St. Nicholas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all across East County, not a creature was stirring, not even a coyote. The stockings are hung by the chimneys with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there. And from their computers amid holiday dishes, our readers have sent Santa their Christmas wishes. In Hukumba Hot Springs, people ask for good cheer during 2014, their centennial year. Over at Lake Morena, they're asking for rains to refill the lake that Todd Gloria drains. Boulevard's planners want Santa to step in with some holiday magic to stop Thule wind. Out in Hamul along Highway 94, people want an accident-free year or more. Meanwhile, the Hamul Indian Village requests a casino approval to service their guests. Parents in Alpine, where the weather is cool, want Santa's elves to build a high school. Atop Mount Laguna, covered in frost, chariot fire survivors want homes to replace those lost. Safety tops the wish for folks in Campo, where a wind turbine fire burned brush down below. Lemon Grove's council, with no cash to spare, hopes Santa will bring bundles of money there. El Cajon's residents want the curtain to rise at the theater downtown before their wondering eyes. Julian's residents want quiet zones. Will Santa please stop the testing of drones?
The town of La Mesa puts Santa in a hot spot, since some want term limits and others do not. People in Lakeside want Helix Waterboard trustees to save Lake Jennings from closing, please. Down in Ocotillo, where the wind doesn't blow, the people want Pattern Energy's wind project to go. And in Borrego Springs, where wells have run dry, they want rain clouds to fill up that sunny sky. Way out in Descanso, KNSJ's engineer wants a super strong signal for all of next year. At Santee Lakes, their director, snuggled in his bed, has visions of a zip line dancing in his head. Guests on Mount Laguna in kerchiefs and caps had just settled down for a long winter's nap, when out o'er the lodge there arose such a clatter they sprang from their beds to see what was the matter. Away to the windows they flew like a sash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to their wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, they knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. Beside golden eagles, his coursers, they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the mountain, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild Santa Ana winds fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the mountaintop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, guests heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As they drew in their heads and were turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with chariot fire soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a backpacker opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. A hookah pipe he held tight in his teeth, and its pungent smoke circled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little jelly that shook when he laughed like Julian apple jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, so folks laughed when they saw him in spite of themselves. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave them to know they had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew o'er East County like a missile. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Good night, and Merry Christmas from all of us at East County Magazine and KNSJ. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.